It's the Wine Country Live morning show. I'm Barry Martin, and we have a chance here to find out from the man who knows what's going on with local election results. Registrar of Voters John Tudor joins us now in studio. Good morning, John.
It's good to be back, Barry.
Thanks for coming in. I'm wondering, how many hours of radio have we done together over the many, many years?
Oh, we're up in the high tens.
High tens? good answer. So the focus right now, of course, is on results from this past Tuesday, and the ballot counting continues. Give us a snapshot of where we stand right at this moment.
So we had counted 22,865 ballots by 8:01 p.m. Actually, that was by 11:51 p.m. when we got the last of the live ballots in from our vote centers. So we're at 22,865, which is about a little over 25% of the total available votes out there. We mailed out 80,000 ballots, round figures. We have processed another 12,000 ballots since then, which we will begin counting in a couple of hours. We still have to process them, get them out of the envelopes, ready to be counted. And then we'll have some more results, hopefully by 4:30 or 5 this afternoon. Then we're going to count again on Monday and Tuesday, catching up these 12,000 ballots. We're still not done processing ballots. My hope is there are about another 8,000 that need to be processed, which is going to bring us over 50% as a total turnout. Can't guarantee that. Just to give you some perspective, Barry, 2004 was also the first experiment with a March election. We only had a 20% turnout. In 2008, when Obama ran, we hit 44% in the primary, not the general. We're talking primary. In 2012, we were about 44%. And then in 2016, when it was Clinton and Sanders competing in the primary, and of course Trump and all the Republicans, we hit almost 60%. So that's our high in recent memory. Mm-hmm. I doubt that we're going to hit 60% this time. I hope we do. I'm predicting somewhere between 50 and 60%, depending on how many more ballots we have in and processed. We're still receiving ballots, Barry, because the law provides now that if you got it postmarked on Election Day, it can get here until 5 p.m. tonight, Friday, March 6th. So we're waiting for mail from the post office. We got about 500 ballots yesterday, which in prior years wouldn't have counted. Now they do. And then we'll get some more today. And then there's another period where people who didn't sign their ballots or whose signature we challenged have a chance to fix that. That goes all the way up to March 20th. Hmm. So we have this small piece of ballots that need extra work. That's why I'm going to probably stop counting when we hit 95%, which I hope will be Tuesday evening. And then we're going to shut down while we do all this other work with these extra ballots and our manual tally to make sure that human eyes see the same thing the machine saw. And then we'll certify the week of the 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Let me back up a step. Yeah. What's the difference between processing a ballot and counting that ballot?
All right. So the ballots come in envelopes with a signature on them. You're supposed to sign. And we verify every one of those signatures with human eyes. So we wand the barcode on that envelope, and up pops on a computer screen the signature from their registration affidavit. We compare those two. We have 10 people in a row doing that right now, and they green stamp it if they think it matches. If it doesn't match, it goes to a member of our permanent staff. She sends a letter and says, "Hey, Barry, your signature doesn't look right. Come on in and tell us what's going on."
Wow.
And then if we don't get the letter back, I make the final decision. So over my 22 years, I've probably reviewed 8,000 to 10,000 signatures. I'm getting pretty good at finding something that lets me know it matches or it doesn't, because I'm not going to disenfranchise anyone without my making that decision. I'm the elected registrar, and I want to make sure that the public understands that if their ballot's not going to be counted, I made that decision. And I don't have to do that very much. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's 60 ballots out of 50,000 that I have to say no. And usually it's another family member who signed it. It's not that they had a stroke. Those we can usually figure out. Now, of course, we have this new process where they have a chance to come in and help us understand what happened. Mm-hmm. And that extends up until March 20th. So that's good. I'm a firm believer in making sure every vote counts. And so I strongly support that. So once we've got the signatures all verified, all those envelopes have to be open. And what we do is we have a machine that actually has got little tiny wheels in it, not knives, and it mills off the top of the envelope. So we shake down the envelope, run it through this machine, it mills them open so it can't cut the ballot. And then we have boards who take the ballots out of the envelopes, move the, and without unfolding the ballot, just to get them out, they check to make sure that the ballot matches what the envelope says it should be in terms of precinct. They're all put in the center of the table, unfolded, unfolded. The envelopes are taken off the table, and that's to protect the secrecy of the ballot. And it's only at that point that the four people sitting around this table actually look at every ballot. They're not counting them, of course. They're making sure there's no coffee stains. We've had a dog bite a ballot. We've had a dog slobber a ballot. We actually had a cat urinate on a ballot, so we don't want to run those through the machine. So they check to make sure the machine can read it. And then if it can't, they put it aside. And that's some of the work we have to do with those last ballots. We have to duplicate ballots. So if it's torn or if somebody spilled coffee on it, that goes into a special pile, and then we physically duplicate that ballot. One person reads the ballot to another person who uses our ballot marking device to create a new ballot that matches what the voter wanted. So that takes, as you can imagine, a few days to do. So once they're all unfolded, they've been sorted through to make sure there are none that will mess up the machine that's counting them, then we start counting. So right now we're in the slitting phase at the office, and we're going to start counting around 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
How many times, and you've been doing this a long time, mm-hmm. how many times have you seen something that you thought might be voter fraud?
Once.
One time.
So we caught them. Hello? So that's the important part. So we've counted over 1 million ballots in all the races in the last 22 years.
80,000 at 50,000 at a time.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That takes a while to add up.
Yeah, that's 22 years. And we've had one case of voter fraud where we sent two ballots to a person who had a complicated last name. She'd registered once as this name, and not on purpose. She just, you know, registered again, changed her party, but the name was looked different because mm-hmm. one had a hyphen or one didn't. We sent her two ballots. She actually voted them both and changed her signature.
Oh.
Okay. So
knowingly voted them both,
right.
Not by mistake.
You know, stupidity is not a crime. You have to intend to commit a crime. So we caught it. It was a small election, and that person paid a $4,000 fine. So 1 out of 1 million, that's about the rate of voter fraud nationally. And so there is no voter fraud, and especially, you know, one time 25 years ago, they caught a guy in Florida who'd been paying people to give him their absentee ballot, sign the envelope, and give him the unvoted ballot. Well, it doesn't take long before one of the guys he gave $5 to said to a buddy, hey, somebody gives me $5, and it was a cop, he told, right? So those kinds of attempts to manipulate an election always fall apart.
Yeah. This is why when you hear that your story, allegations of these massive voter fraud schemes and so on, never hold water. Once you start talking to people, it just isn't true.
So no, that's correct.
People who worry about that kind of thing. Back to the matters at hand.
Yes.
In terms of turnout, you say we might hit 50% or between 50 and 60.
Right.
I heard a report scanned across from Santa Rosa, Sonoma County was talking like 60 or 70%. I don't know if that's holding up for them. But what are you seeing more of a regional or statewide average?
I haven't been following that.
Okay.
I can tell you that Napa County is usually 10 to 12% ahead of the statewide average.
Mm-hmm.
Napa County citizens turn out. They're civically engaged. So we're always in the top 10 of the counties statewide in terms of turnout. I'm hoping that we break 60. That mm-hmm. would be great. That would beat 2016. Two things that I don't think are happening. One is, I think the general state of the union is not great, and people are kind of turned off by it and frustrated by it and dismayed by it. And then the Democratic side, with this crazy primary starting with 22 people and down to this, a lot of people didn't just wait to vote, they also just got turned off and said, it's too crazy, I'm not going to worry about it. So I think those are going to be depressing turnout. So we'll see. I'd love to hit 60%, but I don't think we will. Our guess is that we've done 12,000 additional ballots. Our guess is there are about 6,000 more, which will put us at 40,000, round figures, and that's 50%. I hope we break that, but I'm sort of in that range, 50 to 60.
Mm-hmm. So,
By the way, I should say, Sonoma is one of those counties that's usually higher than we are,
okay,
and the other is Marin. Mm. They're usually in the top two of the state. We're somewhere in the top 10.
We live in a civically engaged part of the country here.
We do.
In terms of the results that we saw from Tuesday night, the numbers that are currently showing as the counted ballots, do you anticipate, in your experience, any of those races being close enough to flip or change? We can talk about some of the specifically. The supervisors' races are probably most significant, and Measure K is maybe
right,
the other one.
Yeah, so the answer is, and I've said this over and over, and I always get in trouble, let's just look at the statistics. So the statistics are that the people who voted in the 801 count, that's everybody through Saturday, are no statistically different, probably, unless they waited on the Democratic side, which won't affect the local races, right? Are no different statistically than the next 20,000 that I hope we count or more. So the odds of those races changing are approaching zero, unless there's a margin of less than, you know, between 50 and 100 votes. We've got 300 votes. We got 400 votes. Measure K is X votes behind their target of 67%. You know, I'm not going to say categorically it's not going to happen. So in my 22 years, Measure C flipped. It was leading in the 801 count and for the next two counts. And then it flipped the other way in the last count. It was only a few hundred votes different on a countywide basis. Mm-hmm. I had a Calistoga race that had two people running for the second seat. So it was, and on election night, one person was 7 votes ahead. In the final count, the other person was 14 votes ahead. That's too close to call,
yeah,
right? And what's key for me is I called both of those candidates, offered to have them show what we do, which we're talking about now, all this processing and the manual tally. They said, John, we're not concerned. We know that you're processing these ballots accurately. We're not going to, we've had one recount in my 22 years. That gentleman was 73, it was a city council race in American Canyon. Mm. He was 73 votes off. He spent $3,400 because he pays for the recount. We did 2/3 of the ballots. And then he quit because not one vote had changed.
Wow.
That's how carefully we do this. Mm-hmm. And now, as I was saying earlier, the last piece of this, which is why we won't certify until March 23rd, that week between the 23rd and the 27th, is what's called a manual tally. California requires that we take two precincts, chosen at random, and that we take all of those ballots that have been through the machine, because every ballot goes through the machine, and we have human eyes look at them. Hmm. So we're going to probably do 1,500 ballots where one person calls the race, two people tally it on a big piece of paper, mm-hmm, and we make sure that the results match. Now, in November of 2018, we had one discrepancy. What happened was one of the ballots had to be adjudicated, it's called, where we can look at the image, and I'll explain that briefly if we have time. And the person who had adjudicated didn't do it right. But out of the 1,500 ballots we looked at, there was one vote difference, and it was in a race that wasn't close. But still, we document that. We tell the state of California what that discrepancy was. We explain how it happened. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one or two votes out of 1,500 may we find, yeah, with human eyes,
yeah,
but there's no pattern. Now, I will say in 2004, thank God we did a manual tally early, because we discovered that our machine wasn't reading correctly. I don't know if you remember the Moscowite-Rippey race, which was 16 years ago. we discovered that our machine hadn't been, not by us, but by our vendor, hadn't been programmed to read what were new at the time called gel inks, as opposed to regular ballpoint. And so the machine had missed votes. So we had to recount all 13,000 ballots through the machine. That eventually went to a court contest. The judge upheld us. But so that's why we, you know, I have three jobs. Make sure every eligible citizen registers to vote. Make sure every registered voter votes. And then make sure every ballot's counted accurately. And that's what takes from now to the week of March 23rd.
Yeah, very good. We're talking with Registrar of Voters John Tudor, who's been around the track a few times doing this process and has always good information about it. Do you feel, this is kind of a broader question, and because it's been an issue nationally, is our voting system more secure today than it was 4 years ago or 8 years ago? Are you happy with the technology that's being used now and the way voting is taking place?
All right. So there have been two major changes, Barry. One, a change in one direction that then switched back. So there was a change from paper ballots to electronic voting. Our Secretary of State, after we spent not us personally, and we didn't spend any county money, but after $400 million had been invested in these machines, decided she didn't like them, without grounds in my view, but that's beside the point. So we went back to all paper. I'm a strong supporter of all paper, and nationally everybody's moving to all paper. That's the standard now. So we have machines where you can mark the ballot, but it prints out a paper ballot. It doesn't store anything in the machine. And so those are wonderful. That's working great. So from the perspective of the integrity of the election process, that's fine. Now, where there's been interference, and I'm a strong believer there has been, it's in the campaign side with fake posts on social media, you know, the stealing the emails, putting that out.
It's manipulation of the voter, not of the internal system.
Exactly. Yeah. And the reason that the and this hasn't changed since I've been around, our machines that count the ballots and tally the results are plugged into one thing, the wall. There's no wireless connectivity. They're not on the county network. They're not on any network. Somebody'd have to break through an alarm door and take a crowbar to try and you'd think we'd catch that, right? Plus, it's all backed up, so they wouldn't know what they were doing anyway. And the other piece of that is there are 7,000 election officials across the country. There's no state election. There's no national election. It's all done at the county level.
Right, which is, so is a strength of the system.
Exactly. Yeah. There's 7,000 of me, which is a scary thought. But we all have different voting systems. So there's no way any. First, they'd have. And all of us plug into the wall. Mm-hmm. We are prevented. We're called air-gapped. We're not touching anything electronically. There's no way to get in. Now, the one thing that could happen is somebody. And I'm not saying this could happen in California because the Secretary of State's done an incredible job of fireproofing and firewalls. Somebody might be able to get in and somehow either deny the results with a denial of service attack so you couldn't see what the results were, or attempt to manipulate the results at the statewide level. Mm-hmm. I've got the results sealed in my locked office. We can always recreate the correct results because that's where the Secretary of State gets them, from 58 of us. So no, there's absolute integrity in the ballot tabulation and the ballot count system.
Good to hear. We're just about out of time. For the bottom line, what time today can we expect to see that additional batch of ballots coming
Hopefully
through?
Hopefully we'll post it on the county website between 4:30 and 5. That's when I'm going to do it, no matter what. We're not going to count late. You know, our staff's been working every weekend for the last 3 weeks. Our vote centers are open, and they've been working hard. I got home at 1 o'clock on election night, so I've bounced back, of course. But so 4:30 to 5 today, the same on Monday. However many ballots we've counted, we're going to stop at 4:30 so we can do the results. Mm-hmm. We'll count again starting early on Monday, because while we're counting today, we're processing those rest of those 12,000 and hopefully 18,000 ballots. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a count at 4:30 today, 4:30 Monday, 4:30 Tuesday. By that time, I think we'll know how many ballots total we have. I can tell when I hit 95%. or close to it. At that point, we stop and then we certify.
I'm going to run a little bit long here. I got to ask one other question. Mm-hmm. Will your office be involved with the district elections issue, this new drawing of maps for the city of Napa? I also understand that Unified School District is going that way and probably other communities.
We're involved at the back end because I have to create those districts for the November election. Both the schools and the municipalities go in November of even numbered years. So they're going to present me with their GIS, Geographic Information System, shape files. I've got to integrate those with our current precincts, which I don't want to change if I can help it. I'm in touch with both of the consultants. Each of those entities has different consultants. So the city hired one person, the school district hired another. I know both of them, got a lot of faith in both of them, and I've asked them to the extent they... So one of the criteria for drawing district boundaries is local government jurisdiction boundaries. So they're supposed to pay... Not, it's one of six, so it's not number one, but I've asked them to pay attention to the trustee areas for the college, the trustee areas for the Board of Education, our precincts. And I'm hoping they're going to do that. Mm-hmm. So Contra Costa just went through this, and I spoke with them. One case, it was almost seamless. It took them an hour to integrate the new information. The other one took them a lot longer because it had been done in a way that was a little strange, not by the county, but by the consultant. I'm hoping we'll have both be an hour and we'll be done. But I have to have that in place in no later than the first part of June because filing for city councils and school districts and town councils opens on July 13th. And therefore, we have to have the election system in place so people know what they're filing for.
Exactly. Very good. Registrar of Voters for Napa County, John Tudor, thank you for your time today. Thank you for staying up late and getting all the work done and all your staff as well.
And I'm available anytime when we get closer to certification.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that then and also about this district election.
Very good. Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Great.